Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. Andrea Bernstein sitting in for Brian Lehrer. How much money do you need to be happy? 212-433-9692. The final word is in. Turns out money can buy you happiness, at least up to a point. That's according to a study that came out this summer that tracked the relationship between income and happiness. The study, conducted by two Princeton economists, discovered that day-to-day happiness increases as salary increases until you hit the seemingly magic number of $75,000 a year. Everything after that might make people express more satisfaction with the overall shape of their lives, but it does very little to improve their daily happiness. So what's so special about $75,000? How much money is that in New York dollars? Let's ask Robert Frank, the wealth reporter for the Wall Street Journal and author of Richistan, A Journey Through the American Wealth Boom and the Lives of the New Rich. Robert, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Andrea.
So there's a break in this study that is really important, life satisfaction versus enjoyment of life. What are we talking about here?
Right. Well, before, when they were looking at the question of does money buy happiness, most economists and psychologists found that once you satisfied certain basic life needs like food, clothing, and shelter, that money basically didn't bring more happiness. What this study by Daniel Kahneman and Angus Deaton found was that there are actually two kinds of happiness, that the broad word happiness actually encapsulated two fundamental kinds of happiness or satisfaction. One was emotional well-being, which is sort of how we're doing on a day-to-day basis. If someone stopped you on the street and said, how are you doing? You might say, well, I'm a little stressed out, or I'm a little angry, or the heat's bothering me, or my kid's being a brat. So it's of-the-moment happiness. The other kind is life evaluation. And that refers to, generally speaking, how your life is overall and how you think about it. And what this study found is that money does buy you happiness in life evaluation all the way up the income ladder. In other words, if somebody makes $120,000 a year, they're happier than someone who makes $80,000 a year. Likewise, if someone makes $1 billion a year, they're happier than someone making only $500 million a year. So presumably someone like Bill Gates has a very high life evaluation. On the other hand, when you look at the emotional well-being, the day-to-day happiness, money stops really being an issue or stops improving happiness at $75,000. So I call that the magic happiness salary. Once you get above $75,000, money does not improve your day-to-day happiness.
So basically what you're saying is if you make $75,000 or more, you're not going to be complaining about, you know, my air conditioning sucks as much or that kind of a thing.
That's right. That's right. When you have a higher salary, your overall sense of your life is going to be better. But beyond $75,000, more money is not going to help. Again, whether you're angry, whether you're sad, whether you're feeling joyful or stressful, those are things that are unaffected after $75,000. But what's interesting is up until that point, it does improve those things. And there are lots of reasons for that as well.
All right, well, let's talk about that in one sec. Listeners, we want to get down to a specific number. So give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Tell us, where do you think the number is for happiness in your life? How much would you need to be making before you feel secure and happy day to day? Does money make more of a difference in how satisfied you are with your life than it does with your greater life enjoyment? If you've recently moved to New York, do you feel like making the same amount as before has meant a drop in the quality of life? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can also leave a comment on our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show. So let's talk about the reasons why $75,000 is the magic number. And let's also sort of just quickly, let's get over the issue of $75,000. This is a national survey. Ooh, what are we talking about in New York?
Right. Well, you know, again, New York is its own world in many ways, especially financially. I mean, this is a city where not only do we have huge disparities in income, we have, you know, the largest number of billionaires in the U.S., but also a large underclass and underemployed, especially right now. And so when you talk about $75,000 in a city where the average home price is still hovering around $1 million, there are lots of people who'd say, well, okay, maybe in Ohio or Arkansas or South Dakota, $75,000 makes me happy, but in New York, you know, you're just getting by. And so what we did is we actually took a Kiplinger survey and looked at, if you took $75,000 in various cities across the country, what is that equal to? So let's say in Albany, $66,000 is enough, is the magic happiness salary. In Fort Smith, Arkansas, it's only $62,000. In New York, however, when you adjust for cost of living, it's somewhere around $163,000.
So that's per family, per individual?
That's per household. So that's a combined income if both or many people in a household are working. So in New York, the adjusted $75,000 becomes $163,000. So that theoretically is the number that households in New York City need to be happy.
So it's basically a New York dollar is about $2.09, if I have my math right, basically a U.S. dollar.
That's right, exactly.
All right, let's take a few calls. Damien from Orange County. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you today?
Hi, Damien. Thanks for calling.
My comment is simply this. I think the number 75 is dead on. Through a fortunate set of circumstances and a career change, a few years ago I was making about $30,000. Now I make about 75, and literally that's like in a three-year time span. And I have to tell you that I'm at the point now where I say, you know what, I'm not going to make any more job moves, because even if I increase my salary $20,000 or $30,000, it's really not going to increase my happiness all that much. I've met all my basic needs. I'm not worrying paycheck to paycheck whether or not I'm going to make my bills. And really, for me, that's the crux of my happiness.
All right, well, Robert Frank, let me ask you a question about this. So Damien says, look, I'm not stressed. I can pay my bills. I'm good. But, you know, to what point is like a sort of an increase of inquisitiveness or acquisitiveness? I mean, you know, $75,000, $160,000 in New York isn't really enough to sort of pay your mortgage and save for college and save for your retirement and take a lot of vacations. And doesn't there become a point? And you know, certainly, I mean, not to pay for private school, which, you know, is something that a lot of New York families do. So it does seem that that point is a little low.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And you make a good point also about the acquisitiveness. I mean, we live in a very material culture, again, especially in New York. And, you know, there's a sense in America that if we only have that car or that watch or that bigger home, then all these other troubles in our life will somehow disappear. And what this study and all others also find is that when you buy things, the more stuff you buy, there is diminishing returns on all the stuff you buy. So maybe your first car is very exciting, but after that, you need a bigger and bigger and better car just to get the same level of happiness. So there's a point at which, no matter how much you're making, and Damien, if he's at 75 now, what he's saying, what he's very wise to notice in his own life, is that even if he had $150,000 or $200,000, that adding more stuff and getting an incrementally bigger house or whatever it is that money could buy wouldn't improve his overall happiness. And I think that's important lesson.
We have to end it there, but thank you so much, Robert Frank, wealth reporter for the Wall Street Journal and the author of Richistan, A Journey Through the American Wealth Boom and Lives of the New Rich. The conversation will continue online at WNYC.org on the Brian Lehrer page. So if you didn't get on the air, go to that page, give us your comments, and we'll continue to talk about wealth. Thanks, everyone, for calling.